Let's open our Bibles now in the book of Romans, the letter from Paul to the Romans, chapter 5. We will read verses 12 through 21. The letter from Paul to the church of Romans, chapter 5. Beginning verse 12 through the end of this chapter, this is what God says in His holy word. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and that through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whom sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgments following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abound all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray again. Close your eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we read your scripture. And now we ask you, God, that may you can move your Holy Spirit among us, helping us to see the greatness of your word, and helping us to understand the perfection of the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We pray all of these in Jesus' name. Amen. We will cover today Lord's Day 3, so you can open your forms and prayer books in page 203. I will read the questions and the answers when we will deal with them into this text. But we will look to Romans 5 and try to understand the truths that we need to see in which is related to salvation of Jesus Christ and the contrast of Christ and the man Adam. Here, in the book of Romans, we will see that contrast is being made since the beginning of the book. Paul is writing a book to show to the Romans that there is a lot of contrast between Adam and Jesus Christ. And this contrast is showing to them, is used to show to them that there is something in Jesus much higher than in all everything else that we have in the past of the church, which means in the story of the Israelites. The church in Rome was a church influenced by the teaching of the Jews. And that is why they struggle a lot with the perspective that salvation was made only by faith in the name of Jesus and in nothing else. The book of Romans was used before, especially during the Reformation, to show to the church that we should not offer anything to God because He made everything for our own salvation. And here in chapter 5 and in the previous chapters of Romans, Paul is trying to convince them that this is true and that we don't need to do anything besides put our faith in the person of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And here we will look to this text and try to understand this contrast between Adam and Christ. Adam is the first man, is responsible for commit the first sin. Actually, we can look back and see that he was part of the first sin because Eve was with him in this situation. But the responsibility was upon Adam and not upon Eve. So Adam here is the one who is responsible for the sin who came into the world. And Christ is a type of the one who trespass. Christ is the contrast that will bring salvation instead of misery. And this is what we are willing to do to understand, looking to the words of Paul in chapter 5 of his book. First, in verse 12, we see that Paul says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man." In this phrase, we already can attach two questions of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 3, to the answer of what Paul is trying to say here. So let's move to Heidelberg, question 6, which asks, "Did God create man so wicked and perverse?" And the answer is no. God created man good and in his own image. That is, in true righteousness and holiness, so that he might truly know God, his creator, love him with all his heart, and live with God in eternal happiness for his praise and glory. So, what Paul is saying here is that sin came into this world. If sin came into this world, it means that before this moment, which Adam commit the sin and brought it to this world, he was not affected by sin. So before that moment when he took the fruit and he disobeyed the will of God, sin was not part of the creation and sin was not part of this world. The man was created good. He was created in perfection of the image of God and righteousness and holiness of God. He was perfect. Adam and Eve were perfect before God. And that is why they could relate to God in a way that no one of us can relate with Him. If we look to Genesis, we will see that he walked with God in the garden. We don't know what that is, and we will not know until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ when he will come and he will bring us to the heaven, and then we will see him in the holy city and we will stay there with him. This relationship of greatness and many blessings is only possible between a holy God and a holy creature. So Adam had that, but unfortunately, we don't have that, and any other man in this world had that. Sin came into this world, and once that happened, it destroyed not only the human race, but also it destroyed all the nature. And that is what he's trying to show in this first phrase too. Let's see now question 7 of Heidelberg Catechism, which speaks about the same thing, but in a different way. Then, where does man's corrupt nature came from? And the answer is from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. This fall has so poisoned our nature that we are conceived and born in sin. Of course, there are many quotations that we can use. For example, David speaking about himself when he was born in Psalm 51, verse 5, I was born in iniquity. This is something that it's now upon every man, because here Adam was the representative of the whole human race. So ourself, everyone here was there being represented by Adam. He is the person who received the order of God. And the thing that we need to see, and we will see when we look to the rest of these texts, is that through that sin, everything in this world became corrupt. And this is the truth that Romans is trying to teach to the church. Through one sin, that came into the world. And that true sin, verse 12, and so that spread to all men because all sinned. So here we are seeing the consequence of sin. Paul is saying that through Adam's sin, the sin came into the world, and now, through his sin, death came to the world. That is a consequence of his sin. And now, he says in the last phrase of verse 12 that death is spread to all men. So it will not be possible for any man to come to this world and do not experience the debt for himself. That now, it's real for every human being in this world, and not only for human beings, but for all creatures in this world. After that, before this moment, it doesn't exist the reality of that in the world. So I already saw many people asking themselves if Adam could die before he commits sin. And the answer is no, he will never die. He could jump from a high place, and I don't know how, but he will not die. He could beat his head somewhere, but he will not die. Because that is the result of sin. And sin now is spread to every man. And why Paul is speaking this here? Because he wants to make us see ourselves in that same place. The problem is not when we look to Adam, and we see him as the representative of the human race and say, look, he commits sin, so that is why everything is lost. The reality that Paul is trying to show us is that it will not be different if me or you could be there in his place. We will do exactly the same thing. And we are doing exactly the same thing every day in our lives, when we decide to follow our own hearts, to follow our own desires, and ignore the commandments of God and ignore His law and sin against a holy God. And look, we know His story, we know His example, and we still are doing the same thing. And this just says that we are guilty with Him. So now we can understand why the Heidelberg Catechism speaks about misery. Because this is the reality of man without God. This is the reality of humankind after the moment that sin came into this world. We are completely inside this misery. Sin was not in the world before that, but after the sin of Adam, everything was changed. But then we need to ask other questions. And verse 13 will show us that we need to see everything regarding to this situation to understand the reality of man. It says, "For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law." So, what is one of the arguments about the misery of man is that they could not know what to do if they still not receive the law. We know that the law came to the people of God through Moses, and that happened maybe 400 years after that moment which we are seeing here. So how could they be guilty about something that they don't know? And then Paul will answer this in verse 14 to show us that there is something that we are just trying to ignore to convince ourselves that we are not guilty. He says that, "Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come." So, if you open your Bible, for example, in one of the most ignored chapters of the whole Bible, Genesis 5, I know that many times you went to this chapter and you said, "Oh, I don't like this kind of text," but it speaks a lot of truth about the reality of man and the reality of the misery of this world. It's a genealogy which speaks about when Adam was born, how many children he had, and it goes to Noah. And something that we will see, of course, we don't have time to cover this text, but we can see, for example, in the end of verse 4, that Adam died. It's the last phrase, "and he died." Then in verse 6, about Seth, "and he died." And in verse 9, Enoch, "and he died." And we can see the same in 12, "and he died." And we can see the same in verse 17, "and he died." 20, "and he died." And we will see that happening and happening and happening again. Because the truth here is we are completely lost. I don't know if you already saw this text speaking this, but this is the reality of Genesis 5. We are condemned. Because of sin, everyone is dying. They were not created for that. But now, through the sin who came to this world, that is spreading everywhere and everyone is dying. And that happened since the beginning and is still happening today. But then we should see that they didn't have the law. So why do they die? And then the scripture will tell us and will show us that we are still guilty about the law, even if we ignore the law, who is not a law who we only can find when we look to the Ten Commandments, but is written in our hearts. So every human being knows the law of God. And when they disobey, they are just ignoring the greatness and the power of our God in heaven. If you go to a tribe, a native tribe, in the middle of Amazonia, in Brazil, you will see that they never heard about Jesus Christ. They never heard about missionaries or church or Bible. They don't have anything, any knowledge about that. But they still know that they should not kill. How can that happen? How can they know that they should not steal from their brothers and sisters? Something is teaching there to them. And of course, it's not the law, because the law is not there. But they are following these rules because God wrote these rules in their hearts. So they are guilty from this sin. And here we are seeing why everyone was dying since Adam to Moses and after Moses, because this is the reality of sin. The dead came to the world and everything now is misery. Why do we need to understand that? Because we need to see the real situation of man. We need to see our real situation before the day that Jesus Christ called us to Him. This is the reality of many people around the world today. They just don't have any knowledge about their situation, but they are completely in a deep misery, and they are not able to come without from this situation by themselves. They cannot work to bring salvation to themselves. They cannot offer anything or serve in any way that will bring salvation to them. They are completely lost in their misery. And then we need to understand why it's so urgent for the church to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. Because this is their reality. They don't have hope. They don't have any thoughts of peace. They don't have joy. They are completely lost in their sins. They are servants of Satan. They are slaves from their own sins. That's why it's urgent for us to teach them about Jesus Christ. Because if something happened, nothing can bring them out of their misery. There is just one thing in this world that can save them from this situation. And then we need to look to the rest of this text. Because here, now, we will see that Paul will start to make the contrast even more clear, but in a way that will bring hope to the church and will just make those who reject Jesus Christ completely lost. But verse 15 says, but free gifts, it's not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. So, look to that misery that we spoke until this moment. Completely lost. One man, one act, one trespass made everyone lost. They don't have any kind of hope. But then, through one man, which man? Jesus Christ, of course. Grace, an abounded grace, came to humankind. The contrast here is perfect. One man, Adam, brought sin to this world and caused misery to humankind. One man, Jesus Christ, fulfilled all the commandments of God and he brought salvation to those who were in misery. Now they are not in their real state of misery, but they are washed by the blood of Christ. And it's not just grace, it's abounded grace. Because God is not covering only some of our sins. God is saying that Jesus Christ, through his work, he forgave all our sins. And that includes those sins that you didn't commit yet. You don't know what you will do tomorrow or next week. Actually, we don't know if we will be here next week. But we know something, that if I commit a sin next week, my Jesus Christ already paid the price of this sin at the cross. And that is why I can have assurance today. I will not go to hell. I am a washed, a justified man because of the works of Jesus. Abundance of grace. When one man trespass, the other one bring salvation. The contrast is everywhere. Look to verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift brought justification. When we look to man, when we put our faith in on man, we will see Adam, and Adam trespassed, and through his trespass he brought condemnation. Everyone is condemned by their own sins. But when we look to Jesus, we will find justification. What is justification? Justification means that when Jesus Christ said, look, you are justified, nothing can be put in your account anymore. Zero. So, we sometimes, when we see some movies or those books who speaks about heaven, they like to create a reality on which we will be in the presence of Jesus Christ, and there will be a screen, and the devil will be there, and he will start to say, look, this guy, he made that, trying to convince Jesus about our sins, that we don't deserve salvation. That doesn't exist. It's just craziness. Once Jesus Christ comes back from heaven, he will look to his church. He will look to me and you, who is found in the name of Jesus. And when he looks to us, he will say, he's a holy man, a holy woman. No trespass, no sins, because he was justified by the blood of Jesus. There is no condemnation, zero condemnation. Even one sin can be in our account anymore. Can you see the contrast here? Condemnation in Adam, justification in Jesus, perfection of salvation. This is the meaning of our salvation. So let's look now to the question number 8 of Heidelberg Catechism Lord's Day 3. The question is, but are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? And the answer is yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. Our reality was, yes, we are completely lost. We are not able to do any good. We are just condemned by our sins. But once we were justified, we were born again. The old man doesn't exist anymore. We were born again. A new life in Jesus Christ. A new time in which we are able to do good and we are able to incline our minds to Christ because of Jesus. This is the result of his acts. Verse 17, for it is because of one man's trespass that reigned through that one man, but more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We will reign in life. That means we don't need to follow the old situation, the old misery anymore. We are not connected to our old sins anymore. We are not condemned in our old reality anymore. We are now able to live a life in which we will praise the name of our God in a kingdom who will glorify and exalt the name of our Jesus. You are not a slave. Sin cannot hold you anymore. Satan is not the owner of your life anymore. You belong to Jesus. You are washed by his blood. What Paul is saying here is that we can reign with him in light. Then we need to ask, why then we are not doing good? Why then we are living our lives inclined to evil? If you are part of the kingdom of God, you are doing this because you are not walking with your master. And maybe God is letting you live in this situation to discipline you and to bring you back to his presence through many different situations which probably will involve pain and hurt and many of those things. But we need to realize, if we are part of God's kingdom, you have everything you need to defeat your sin. You cannot be a slave anymore. You are not a slave anymore. You are free to follow Jesus. So what to do? What should we do? We should stand up and fight against our sins. And fight against our desires, who is making us far from God's presence. Because this is not where we should be. We are part of a kingdom, of a reign of life. This is our reality. Do not accept for yourself anything but this. You are saved and washed, perfect, in the hands of Jesus Christ. But the contrast continues. Verse 18. As one trespass led to condemnation for all our men, the righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Here the contrast is condemnation, now to justification and life. Why is Paul using almost the same example that he used in verse 16 here, but he includes life? Because here he is showing to the Romans, and for us, of course, that something else changed. That was the reality of misery. Life is the reality of those who were born again. So, do you think you will die? Well, we will close our eyes in this word. One day, because of the sin in this world and for the corruption of our bodies and the corruption of the humankind, we will die here one day. But by the moment that you close your eyes here, you will open them in the presence of Jesus Christ. So death is not reigning anymore. What can we say about those who are in Jesus and die in this world? If we go to Revelation, we will see that those who survived, who fought their fights in this world and died by the name of Jesus Christ, after they're dead here, they will receive white clothes, palms in their hands, and they have only one direction, only one way to take, the throne. And they will walk in the direction of the throne with their palms in their hands, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." Is this that? Is this condemnation? Of course not. I want that for me. I am willing for the day that I will see the throne of God, that I will see my Savior there with as a lamb who was offered for me. And I will join the voices of the angels, the voices of the men for the, of the church who are there. And we will sing together and praise the name of our Lord. I hope to see that one day. And I know I will, because of the works of Jesus Christ. I will, and I believe you will too. And this is not that. This is not condemnation. This is something glorious, wonderful, perfect. We are not able to imagine this because it's too high for us. But we can want that because of the works of our Savior, Jesus. Verse 19, we need to continue. By one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So by the one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. The contrast continues. Disobedience, sinners. Obedience, righteous. We are now a people who can walk in righteousness. We can show the light of God in this word. And we should if we follow Him. Verse 20, now the law came in to increase the trespass, but when sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So see, what he's saying here is that through one trespass, to the works of Satan, of Adam, everything was lost. And then the law came. And when the law came, everything became worse. Because now every man in this world knows why they are disobeying Jesus Christ, why they are disobeying God. And we know now, every Sunday morning, we read the Ten Commandments here, and they remind us about our own sin, right? And they call us to sanctity, right? So law is something who will increase the situation of misery. But then, looking to Christ, we will see that with the law, the grace of Jesus Christ will abound even more. So now you know your sins. So Jesus Christ is coming and saying, I will bring you more and more and more grace. Because now you need more grace. Jesus is just saying, I'm doing everything for you. I am bringing to you everything you need. So if the law is something that can bring damage to those who are walking in trespass, for us, it will not bring any damage. Because the law for us is a way to go to glorify the name of our God. We don't look to the law as something that can bring something bad for us, or who can oppress our minds or our hearts. No. Because when we read the law, we are not looking to the law as condemned people. We are looking to the law as justified people who can now look to His commandments and say, I will follow my Christ. It's completely different. The relationship is different. This is what Paul is trying to say here. That is why we should love the law and not try to be afraid of it or ignore it. We should love the law, because the law is a way that we should follow to glorify our God. And we don't need to be afraid of the law, because Jesus paid the price of our sins. So every time that we look to the law, we are looking to the law as washed people, as clean people, as a church who is able to fulfill every one of those commandments. This is the power of Christ in you and in me. So what to do? Looking to these texts and looking to these truths, looking to what the Heidelberg Catechism is trying to show us, we should, of course, first of all, praise the name of our Lord. Because we are here without any condemnation. We are here because He washed our sins, and we are full of abundant grace. Complete, clean from our sins. There is no other place that we should want to be. We are in the presence of our Lord in heaven. He's looking to us here now in this service. And He's seeing you. And He's listening to your voice when you sing. He's listening to your heart. He's looking to your mind. And He's giving more and more grace and more mercy. Because this is our real situation, actual situation. Grace and love. So let's praise His name. Let's confess His name everywhere. But also, we should look to this and realize that since we are part of this kingdom, we should walk as people of God in this world. There is no other option for you or me. If you know your heart, if you know the sin who is still trying to bring some condemnation to you, who is trying to make you walk far from Jesus, fight against it. Do not allow that Satan continue to work in your life. You don't belong to him. You belong to Jesus, so shine His light. Shine His light. You are saved. You have everything you need. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Paul is not even speaking about the Holy Spirit until this moment, but he will, and he will show how we are able to fulfill everything. We are able to fulfill everything. And for the least, of course, being washed, receiving salvation, being part of His kingdom, we need to remember those who are living in misery. We are not allowed to ignore them in their misery, because we know what this misery will bring to them. Condemnation. Hell. No hope. All those things that we already said. And how can we just continue our lives ignoring those who are going to hell by your side? So, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what can happen to you. Don't be afraid of the culture today. Don't be afraid of what you will lose with that. Love those who are around you. Love them and give to them the most precious gift that you can give to them, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The treasure of this word. There is nothing more important than that. Your friendship is nothing comparing to the gospel of Christ. They can be your friends for the whole life. If they go to hell, they didn't receive any gift from you. Can you see? But if you share the gospel, if you share the good news of salvation, if you share the name of Jesus, who is the one who brought salvation, you can see them in heaven with you for eternity. And this is amazing. Salvation are still coming to this world, are still coming for those who are around us and doesn't know that Jesus Christ is able to save them from their misery. So be stand and praise the name of God, offering the gospel to this world. Close your eyes, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise your name and we exalt the name of Jesus Christ, which came to this world to pay the price of our sins, and by which now we are stand, not in misery anymore, but in abundance of grace. Oh God, we want to praise your name because salvation came to us, and because now we can see the greatness of your work. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for Jesus and His salvation. And be with us and help us to show to this world the love of our Jesus, the salvation for those who are living in misery. We pray this in Jesus.